Welcome to the May 20th, 2007 morning worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today is a very special service, our Youth Sunday. Our church youth lead today's worship service built around the subject of time. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Write down your name, any information that may have changed, and guests, we love you too, so you can write down your name. And then once you're done with the pad, pass it. Continue the process. Like I said, today is Youth Sunday. That's why I'm up here instead of Jeff. But apparently Jeff is doing a bad job with the announcements, so they may start paying me. There's going to be a children's time led by the puppet team later. Look out for that. That's what that is. Puppets. Very nice. Also, there's some songs listed in the bulletin insert for singing. That's what you do with songs. Sunday afternoon, 7 p.m., 7 o'clock tonight, Life, Smith Hall. It's wonderful. If you've never been, it's more of a contemporary service. There's lots of singing. Yes, this is contemporary, Miss Henson. That's what that means. Sorry to call you out on that one. There's been some intense hugging going on today. I'm a little parched. But if you didn't get hugged this morning, I'd like you to raise your hand. And this front row right here, all you youth, you're on hug patrol. So if you didn't get a hug and you want one, raise your hand. Anybody? I want a hug. Oh, I guess everybody got a hug.
What?
Oh, you want a hug? Hold on. That is way too many steps. Right now, I think Gary Elkins, where is he? There he is. He's got an announcement.
Good morning. Last fall, September, October-ish, y'all might remember that I got up here several times and made some announcements about Team I Am, the neighborhood handyman ministry that we wanted to get started, and we had our first project last November. You haven't heard anything about that the last few months. We've been on a little bit of a hiatus, although we have been doing a few things behind the scenes. But now we want to get cranking with that again, and we are going to have a meeting next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock in here. It'll last for 30 minutes, no longer, have you out in plenty of time for Sunday school. So if you have an interest in Team I Am, if you worked with us last fall and enjoyed what we did and want to do it again, or if you didn't work with us but want to get involved, we'd love to see you at 9 o'clock here next Sunday morning. Please mark that down. The only other announcement that we'll have an opportunity to make will be Wednesday night. We'll announce it again then, but obviously there the audience isn't as broad, so please mark it down on your calendar. Love to see you in here next Sunday morning, 9 o'clock sharp. Thanks.
Forgot to tell you about Wednesday night. It's a regular schedule, so check the back of your bulletin. It'll be on there. Also, children who have completed first through sixth grade are invited to our annual children's camp next weekend. The children will be going to Camp Kanagawa. Kanuga. That's fun to say. Near Henderson, North Carolina. Hendersonville. There's a ville on the end of that. Hendersonville. We got a Hendersonville. Sorry. If you're interested, please talk to Jeff, although he is not reliable, so talk to Bryn Hobson. We have an announcement from Sydney Sowers about Kentucky.
delighted to share with you about the Kentucky family for 2007. John and Jennifer Chatham have two young boys, ages 1 and 2. They are currently living in a cinder block building as a home. John is building swimming pools during the summer and has little work during the winter. And Jennifer is working at Burger King while John's mom cares for the children. John and Jennifer seem very eager to work with us, so we're very excited about what they have to offer. Our goal is about $24,000, and as of today, we have about $10,000. Sign-up will begin on Wednesday in Smith Hall, provided that Barbie has everything together.
Next off, Tim Summers is having an Eagle ceremony. That is today at 3 in Smith Hall, so that's pretty cool. You should probably come. We'd also like to send a special welcome to our guests. Yeah. The ushers are now coming down the aisles. If you are a guest this morning, we would like to give you a little information about our church. We ask any guests to raise your hands. Raise your hands. There you go. There's a guest. And the ushers will give you a packet of information. This packet tells you how we are and what we do. And we hope you will like the service and hope you come back. So, looks like that's the end of the announcements. We're going to have this beautiful woman come up and tell you something else.
Well, thank you, Ben. Okay, I would like to invite you to share in worship, and I'd like you to stand, please. And I will be reading the light print, and you will be reading the dark. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Church, the communion of saints. You may be seated.
Thank you. the everlasting God. He is the Holy One. He is the everlasting God of Abraham. The nations glorify His name.
Will you bow with me in prayer, please? Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here together this morning. Lord, just help us remember why we are here. Sometimes we get caught up in our own ways and don't find time for you. Remind us, Lord, that time is too valuable to leave you out. Guide us and protect us, and remind us how precious time is. Amen.
I'm going to read some scripture, and I'll start off with Acts 9, 1 through 5. All this time, Saul was breathing down the necks of the master's disciples, out for the kill. He went to the chief priests and got arrest warrants to take them to the meeting places in Damascus, so that if he found anyone there belonging to the way, whether men or women, he could arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. He set off. When he got to the outskirts of Damascus, he was suddenly dazed by a blinding flash of light. As he fell to the ground, he heard a voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you out to get me?" He said, "Who are you, Master?" "I am Jesus, the one you're hunting down. I want you to get up and enter into the next city. In the city, you'll be told what to do next." Now turn to Acts 9. 19 to 31. Saul spent a few days getting acquainted with the Damascus disciples, but then went right to work, wasting no time, preaching in the meeting places that this Jesus was the Son of God. They were caught off guard by this and not at all sure they could trust him. They kept saying, "Isn't this the man who wreaked havoc in Jerusalem among the believers? And didn't he come here to do the same thing? Arrest us and drag us off to jail in Jerusalem for sentencing by the high priest." But their suspicion didn't slow down. Saul slowed down for even a minute. His momentum was up now, and he plowed straight into the opposition, disarming the Damascus Jews and trying to show them that this Jesus was the Messiah. After this had gone on quite a long time, some Jews conspired to kill him, but Saul got wind of it. They were watching the city gates around the clock so they could kill him. Then one night, the disciples engineered his escape by throwing him over the wall in a basket. Back in Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him. They didn't trust him one bit. Then Barnabas took him under his wing. He introduced him to the apostles and stood up for him, told them how Saul had seen and spoken to the master on the Damascus road, and how in Damascus itself he had laid his life on the line with his bold preaching in Jesus' name. After that, he was accepted as one of them, going in and out of Jerusalem with no questions asked, uninhibited as he preached in the master's name. But then he ran afoul of a group called Hellenists. He had been engaged in a running argument with them, who plotted his murder. When his friends learned of the plot, they got him out of town, took him to Caesarea, and then shipped him off to Tarsus. Things calmed down after that, and the church had smooth sailing for a while. All over the country, Judea, Samaria, Galilee, the church grew. They were permeated with a deep sense of reverence for God. The Holy Spirit was with them, strengthening them. They proposed wonderfully. Now, Romans 13, 8 through 12. Don't run up debts except for the huge debt of love you owe each other. When you love others, you complete what the law has been after all along. The law code, don't sleep with another person's spouse. Don't take someone's life. Don't take what isn't yours. Don't always be wanting what you don't have, and any other don't you can think of. Finally adds up to this. Love other people as well as you do yourself. You can't go wrong when you love others. When you add up everything in the law code, the sum total is love. But make sure that you don't get so absorbed and so exhausted in taking care of all your day-by-day obligations that you lose track of the time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is about over. Dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work he began when he first believed. We can't afford to waste a minute, must not squander these precious daylight hours in frivolity and indulgence, and sleeping around in dissipation, and bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Don't loiter, don't linger, waiting until the very last minute. Dress yourself in Christ and be up and about. Now, 1 Peter 4, 1 through 11. Since Jesus went through everything you're going through and more, learn to think like him. Think of your sufferings as a wearing from that old sinful habit of always expecting to get your own way. Then you'll be able to live out your days free to pursue what God wants instead of being tyrannized by what you want. You've already put in your time in that God-ignorant way of life, partying night after night, a drunken and profligate life. Now it's time to be done with it for good. Of course, your old friends don't understand why you don't join in with the old gang anymore, but you don't have to give an account up to them. They're the ones who will be called on the carpet and before God himself. Listen to the message. It was preached to those believers who are now dead, and yet even though they died, they will still get in on the life that God has given in Jesus. Everything in the world is about to be wrapped up, so take nothing for granted. Stay wide awake in prayer. Most of all, love each other as your life depended on it. Love makes up for practicality anything. Be quick to give a meal to the hungry, a bed to the homeless, cheerful. Be generous with the different things God gave you, passing them around so all get in on it. If words, let it be God's words. If help, let it be God's hearty help. That way God's bright presence will be evident in everything through Jesus, and he'll get all the credit as the one mighty in everything. On course to the end of time. Oh, yes.
What else are we supposed to do when we worship? Would you stand and sing with us as we sing?
Serve the Lord with all my heart, all all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will serve the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
Okay, here's the audience participation portion of the service, all right? I'm going to sing something, and the ladies are going to repeat. You follow the ladies and sing what I sing. Are you ready? One, two.
I will love you. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. I will love you, Lord, with all my heart.
Have a seat right where you are.
This is rhetorical. I don't need a show of hands. You don't have to answer. I just want you to think about it. How many of you have ever been so stressed or so worried about anything, you put something before God? A year ago, I would have said, never. That's dumb. God's number one, always. But then you take a step back and you really look at it and you realize, I've done that all the time. Pretty much every day, with school, work, friends, girls, /guys, you know, whatever, and such. About a year ago, I wanted desperately to make the NFL. That was my dream. I wanted to play professional football. And I put that before God pretty much every day. I worked on that every day. And sometimes, honestly, I did forget God was there and what he wanted. It got to the point where I remember someone asked me what I would do if it wasn't God's will for me to play professional football. And I responded something along the lines of, I can do it without him. With him working against me, I can make it like that. Then I hurt my knee. I was pretty frustrated, pretty depressed, just kind of wondering what was going on. And as I've thought about it, God's pretty much shown me that what I was doing wrong, I was putting football and school above him. And he wants desperately to be your number one priority. Does anyone have a Bible I could borrow? Because that'd be great. Luke 12:15-21 is what I'm about to read from when I get there. Then he said, beware. Don't be greedy for what you don't have. Real life is not measured by how much we own. And he gave an illustration. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. In fact, his barns were full to overflowing. So he said, I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store everything. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. Your life will be demanded from you this very night. Then who will get it all? Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. As I read that passage the first time, I thought it pretty much illustrated the mindset of the average corporate working business American. Basically, get yourself in order financially, and then go back and worry about your relationship with God. But that's ridiculous. God comes first, no matter what, and he wants to be that desperately. Honestly, I don't know how to put it. I don't know how to say how important it is to have God as your number one. Right now, I'd like to give you guys a few minutes to think about what your priorities have been in the past and what God wants them to be. So take a few minutes and think about that. And then I'll close in prayer. Dear God, thank you for this day. Thank you for everything that you've given us. Thank you for sending your son to die for us, that we can be forgiven for everything we do wrong, every mistake we make, Lord. Please help us realize that no matter what, you should always come first, above school, above work, and everything else that we allow to get in the way of a great relationship with you, Lord. Amen.
All right, I need all the children to come down and see me. Come on down. Y'all have a seat like right here. Right here. Can y'all do that noise? Okay. All right. We hear them rumbling. They're coming. How are y'all this morning? Ooh, Christian, I like that shirt. Stand up here, Christian. Stand up here. Look, I want you to model this shirt. Do you think Mr. Fuzzy would look good in a shirt like this? I do too. Okay. All right. Good. All right. We got some more. Hey, ladies. All right. I have a question. Have you ever been lost, like in a store or in the woods? Have you ever been lost and like mommy or daddy didn't know where you were? No? Think about that. How scared would you be? This scared? Really scared. Sometimes children get lost, and mommy and daddy, they're looking down the store, they're looking, you know, usually the children are on the candy aisle of the grocery store, and mom is on the fruit aisle, and you get lost and you get separated. Well, there's a story in the Bible about something getting lost. And I want you to watch the puppets as they tell you a little story about getting lost. Here we go.
Good morning, everybody. Today I'm going to tell you all about the parable of the lost coin. Oh no, I've lost the script. Oh, where is that script? Has anyone seen my script? You know, the piece of paper with all the words on it that I'm supposed to say?
Hi, June. What's wrong?
I'm supposed to be telling everyone about the story Jesus taught about the woman who lost a very expensive coin, and I lost my notes. I can't tell the story without my notes. What am I going to do?
Well, they have to be around here somewhere. I'll help you look for them.
Great. Okay, let's start looking. All of you folks in the audience, just be calm and wait right there. Just a minute, boys and girls. I'll be with you in a second. I really want to find it because this story tells us how much God loves us and cares about each one of us.
We have to do some serious searching.
You found it yet?
Nope.
I found a bow.
A hat.
And a ball.
Another ball.
And another ball. And a shiny thing. Are you sure you haven't found it yet?
No, but I found Grandma's teeth.
Ew. Oh, look, a brick.
We're getting near the bottom. It's got to be here somewhere.
Wait a minute. I think I might have found something. Hold on. Yes, the script. Yahoo, yippee, hee-haw. I found the script, my beautiful script, the one that was lost. I found it now. Yahoo. Now I can start.
June, there's a new problem.
Huh? What's wrong?
We've run out of time.
What? We've run out of time? Oh, I must have been looking for that script so hard. I didn't know I had run out of time to tell everybody this great parable that Jesus told about the lady who had 10 shiny, expensive gold coins and how she lost one of them.
Yeah, you don't have time to tell how she looked and looked and searched and took her whole house apart trying to find that one coin.
I know, it is so sad that I don't have time to explain how that story shows us that God would do anything to find people that are lost because he loves us more than anything else in the whole world.
You were so busy celebrating and dancing when you found that script that you ran out of time to tell these kids that God loves it when someone who is lost gets found. He is so happy that everyone in heaven celebrates and sings and shouts and rejoices.
I wish I had time to tell you that there is something very expensive, very precious to God, more than a coin or a script. I wish I could tell you that the thing God is looking for is you, and he's just waiting for you to ask him to live in your heart and be his child. He will be happier than a kid in an ice cream shop when one of his lost children is found.
So don't waste any more time. Tell everybody about God's love and how he's looking for you.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Give him a hand. Sometimes we get scared, and sometimes we get lost. But that's why God sent Jesus, to find us and to give us a new life. And those who call on him and say, Jesus, I believe in you, then you're no longer lost. And that's what we want. And that's what God wants. More than anything in the world, he wants to hang out with you. Okay? That's a pretty cool thing to know. Will you pray with me? Father, thank you so much for this morning. And we thank you for all the people who have prepared for worship. And most importantly, we thank you for Jesus, who came down here to let us know that we are loved and we are forgiven. And that we have a life with him forever. And we're no longer lost, but we are found. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats. You can give me that stuff. You can go back to your seats. All right. Thank you. Thank you.
Good job,
thank you. Go back to your seat. Put it in there.
James just got done sharing his story of his past and what he learned. We all have these stories. So the real question is, when do you learn from your past and make the real difference in your life? The ideal answer would be right now, the present, right? Well, if you could bear with me a second, I'd like some participation from the congregation. Raise your hand if you have a schedule that is for the majority centered around your kids or family. Fair enough. All right. Okay, how about a work schedule? Me too. All right. See some hands shooting up. And finally, my favorite of it all, school. Yes. All right. Well, the thing is, we all have these distractions we struggle with day to day. While they are all good things, maybe except for school, they turn bad when we schedule them to be number one priority in our life in front of God. This February, I started work at L.A. Reynolds Garden Showcase, open 9 to 7, Monday through Sunday, and 12 to 5 on Sunday. Come visit me. All right. Anyhow, before this, I never really had a job where my hours were scheduled for me. And on top of school, this got really difficult all of a sudden. As of lately, I've had to decide some pretty hard things, like getting some extra hours at work or maybe going to youth. And this summer, getting a steady summer job instead of going on mission trips with the church. When I choose to take extra hours at work, I notice a change in my life. I become worn out and grumpy and with people I encounter. And the truth is, when we make these decisions to go with these distractions in our life, it affects our relationship with God. These are not easy things to decide, especially when our priorities aren't the way they're supposed to be. These day-to-day distractions get in the way. Matthew 16:26 tells us, "What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul?" The first step in getting our priorities right is getting our relationship with God right. Spending time with Him in prayer and studying His Word is vital for us to find His will. If you haven't taken this step already, you're running out of time. The present is the best time to start. I challenge us this week to really take a step back and determine whether our schedule revolves around us or His will. Let me close with a word from Matthew 16:24-25. Then Jesus said to His disciples, "If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will find it." Let's close in a word of prayer, please. Father, thank You for giving us this Sunday morning to come and worship You. Forgive us for trying to take life in our own hands when we know that it truly belongs in Yours. Help us discover what in our lives are just a distraction and give us a way to focus on You, Lord. In Your name we pray. Amen.
You'll find our next song of worship listed in
that insert. It's called Everlasting God. We're talking about time today. We're talking about, what do you spend your time doing? What do I spend my time doing? What are our priorities? And the fact is, God is everlasting. He is beyond time. And He wants a relationship with us. This is Everlasting God. Will you stand with us?
As we wait upon the Lord, we'll wait upon the Lord.
Lord, thank you for bringing us all here today on this beautiful day, and thank you for everything you've given us. We're all so blessed, and it's just by the grace of you that we are. And I pray that you continue to bless us as well as those who aren't as fortunate as we are. Lord, just take all the money you received today and use it for your will. In your name we pray, amen. Thank you.
How many of you have ever heard the saying, don't wish your life away? I know my parents have always told me, Maggie, don't wish your life away. It'll go by quicker than you expect. We're always doing this. You know, there's always the, you can't wait to be 13 because you're a teenager. You can't wait to be 15 because then you can drive. You can't wait to be 16 because then you can drive by yourself. You can't wait to be 18 because you're an adult, and so on. And at this point in time in my life, I cannot tell you how true this advice really is. It truly seems like yesterday that I was a freshman in high school saying that graduation was so far away. Now I'm graduating in 2 weeks. I do try hard not to wish my life away, to live for each day. However, at this time in my life, everything is constantly directed towards the future. As a senior, hardly anything has been about this year. It's been about next year. What college am I going to go to? Am I going to live on campus? What do I want to major in? If I'm not worrying about college stuff, it's been graduation, taking cap and gown pictures, graduation announcements, and planning for senior awards day. It seems that I'm constantly preparing for the future. That's where I am in my life right now. I'm planning for the future. However, when the four of us got together to work on the message for Youth Sunday, we discussed how we spend our time and how we are preparing for the future. Which future are we preparing for? As Christians, we know that our earthly lives are only temporary. During this time, we should be witnessing to others and preparing for the future, our future in heaven. I've realized that so many of us spend our time preparing for the future that we are not guaranteed here on earth, rather than the future that God has promised us in heaven. That should be the future that we are concerned about and excited about. Of course, we should still plan and be excited about our future and that we hope to have on earth. But we need to remember to make God and our future with Him our top priority, because the decision to believe in Him is our eternal future. I'm going to read you a verse from Ecclesiastes 3:1-8. There is a time for everything, and everything on earth has its special season. There is a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant, a time to pull up plants. There is a time to kill and a time to heal. There is a time to destroy and a time to build. There is a time to cry and a time to laugh. There is a time to be sad and a time to dance. There is a time to throw away stones and a time to gather them. There is a time to hug and there is a time not to hug. There is a time to look for something and a time to stop looking for it. There's a time to keep things and a time to throw things away. There's a time to tear apart and a time to sew together. There's a time to be silent and a time to speak. There's a time to love and a time to hate. And there's a time for war and a time for peace. As it says in this passage, there's a time for everything. God has given us this time on earth to prepare for our future with Him and to also prepare others. Our job as believers in Christ is to bring others to know the Lord. That time is now. Make your time now count towards your future with God. If we do not think about the future now in our present, then it will become the past, and you cannot go back to the past. I have tried extremely hard to keep God a top priority in all of my decisions that I have towards my earthly future over this past year. I have prayed for His will to be done and where I go to college, and where I would decide not to go. I actually wish that I had prayed more and given God a lot more of the worrying and stress and allowed Him to take care of it during this whole process. Life would have been a whole lot easier for me if I had done that. I know now that it would have made things tons easier. Once I go to college, I will continue attending church and not let other distractions get in the way of me preparing myself for my future eternity with Christ. I leave you with this verse from Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. That's Ephesians 5:15-16. We must be careful how we spend our days because time flies and you never know when you will need to be ready for your future with God. Therefore, make it your purpose in life to always be ready to meet the Lord at any time. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you for bringing us all here today. Help us to always remember that our future with you is most important. I pray that your will be done in this place today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Will you live it all with no regret? Will they say that you love to your final breath? What will you do with the
Good morning. Acts chapter 9, verses 19 through 22 says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. All those who heard him were astonished and asked, Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who call on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priest? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving to them that Jesus is the Christ or Messiah. Now Saul did not let his past as a Christian persecutor affect his witness. Many people wondered why this Christian persecutor was now preaching to them as a believer. But instead of letting those thoughts affect him, he continued to preach and continued to love the Lord with all his heart. He used their skepticism as a tool to intrigue them, get them to listen to him and hear what he had to say. And as the scripture said, by proving to them that Jesus is the Messiah, he baffled the Jews and had a major impact on their lives. Saul's conversion from a prosecutor to a believer, from a persecutor to a believer, occurred similarly to James's realization. God showed Saul that if you're acting in a displeasing manner or not in accordance with his will, he's able to persuade you otherwise. But yet through all of this skepticism and doubt, Saul persevered. He kept his eyes lifted towards heaven. His ears and his heart remained open to what God had to say. His number one priority was God, and nothing could change that. Paul didn't let a daily routine interfere with his priorities. He rose above the hassles of everyday life that only served to distract us from what we truly should be focusing on, God. As Maggie mentioned, oftentimes we put too great of an emphasis on our earthly future and don't focus as much on the truly important future in heaven. I too, like Maggie, have been overrun by so many decisions and important decisions to make about college plans next year. What will I major in? Will I be able to pay for college? Can I get a scholarship to help me pay? Hundreds of questions that just never end, and they always find new ones to ask every year, I think. But, you know, the Lord gives us a model in Acts 9, verses 5 through 8 on how to handle this situation, and this is as the Lord appears to Saul. Who are you, Lord? Saul asked. I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. He replied, Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there, speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see anything. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. Paul had no clue what the Lord was going to do in his life from there. But quite literally, he blindly followed the Lord. We as Christians need to learn this blind obedience. I mean, don't get me wrong, planning for the future is important, and it's a necessity. But the real importance lays in what we're doing along our journey, how we're acting as we're planning for the future and heading towards the future. Is it not our duty as Christians to share our faith and to help others plan for their heavenly future? We have to do this by telling them and teaching them of God and His Son. But yet, it's so easy just to say things like, well, I'm too busy right now. I'll talk to them about God next week. The problem with this logic is that today will become tomorrow, or tomorrow will become today, just as the future becomes the present. And if we continue to wait, the present will fade into the past. Still waiting? Guess what? It's too late. Something's happened. You missed the opportunity. What now? We've all witnessed these events. First, with Virginia Tech. None of those kids knew when they woke up in the morning. None of the professors knew when they woke up that morning that it was going to be their last day here on this earth. Do you think their friends knew the pain that they would feel that night as they went to sleep thinking about who they had lost? But then, even closer to home, for a lot of kids at Reagan and other high schools, Josh Shelton was a sophomore at Reagan High School. He was killed suddenly in a car accident only 3 days after getting his license. At 16 years old, his life is over. I often wonder to myself, was there something I could have said? Was there something I could have done? Something, anything, while I passed him in the halls? I don't know if I could have said anything that would have helped or mattered, but I know I should have tried. The challenge I want to lay before us today is this. Do not let the present become the past. Like Andrew said, the time to start is now. No one wants to have to say, I waited too late. I'm sure many of you sitting out there have someone that the Lord has put on your heart, someone that you might need to talk to, maybe a non-believer, maybe a straying Christian. It could be a coworker or a friend. Talk to them. You won't regret it. My prayer is that this service today has motivated you to step out of that comfort zone. Make the effort. But the key is not to wait. You have to do it today. Thank you.
Church, this day you have heard the challenge very clearly. From the beginning, from the first thing that you heard to the last. You and I are not promised tomorrow. And as we planned the last several weeks, I began to think about all that our young people have experienced. From the Virginia Tech shooting to losses at local high schools, losses within our church. And I thought it's significant that teenagers, who are usually characterized as people who think they're invincible and are going to live forever, that they are the ones who stand up before this congregation and tell the world, we're not promised tomorrow. And we are responsible for what we do today. So you have heard the challenge. So the question is, what will you and I do about it? I know that God has placed something significant on your heart this morning. Maybe it's time to forgive. Maybe there's something that you've been holding on to. But there's no way that you can share Christ because you have something burdening you. Maybe it's time to forgive. Maybe it's time to say, you know what? I need Jesus more than I realize. Maybe there's a first-time commitment. The altar will be open for first-time commitment, for asking forgiveness. A commitment hymn this morning says, I need thee every hour. How true that is. The altar is open. You can come to pray. You can come and speak to me here. Whatever God would have you do, I pray that you would not wait, but you would be the first down the aisle. Or the first to pray in your pew, asking God today for His forgiveness and His mercy and His grace. We'll have a word of prayer and the altar will be open as we stand and sing. Would you pray with me?
Father, the question has come to us this morning, straight from your throne of grace. What will we do with the time that's left? We are often held back by our past. Things that we've held on to and keep us from living fully for you. Oftentimes our present schedules do not show you as a priority in our lives. Sometimes we make church a priority, but only if it doesn't interfere with baseball or dance practice or going to the beach for a weekend. Sometimes we forget to pray because we've had such a busy day at school. In the present, it's hard to make you a priority. And certainly in our future. Father, we are promised we are going to have a future. But it's our choice into where we'll live it. Will we live our future with you or away from you? Both on earth and in heaven. This is the challenge before us. Speak to your children. And may we change today. May we receive your forgiveness. May we know that you are alive and you are well and you want a relationship with us right now. You want to restore that relationship right now. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Commitment hymn is from 450. I need thee every hour. I invite you to stand. The altar is open. What will you do? Can only do certain duties, and I'm the associate pastor. We have a family that's going to come this morning. We're going to get the big shot down here. He's going to welcome them, and we want to thank you for coming this morning. Raymond.
I'd ask you to be seated. Jason and Brandy Smith are here. They're two beautiful girls. You can see them walking through the church, being here at worship, Sunday school, and children's time. And they're coming this morning Jason Brandy's coming by transfer of letter. And Brandy's coming to use the transfer letter. Jason's coming on professional faith and candidate for baptism. And we're excited about that. And the girls, we're just going to kind of grow up with them and kind of nurture them along. And someday we'll celebrate the special faith for them too, right? Sure. Sure, whatever you say. But if you were celebrating their decision and pray for them as a family and encourage them, if you join me and say amen.
Amen.
Fantastic. We invite you to come by at the end of the service. You'll give after the benediction and the response. If you'll give, mention just a second kind of mood good. The sound went out of the way up here. This would be hard to do when people start clocking out of the hour. So give me just a second to kind of move that out of the way. Then come by and greet them. Give them a hug and greet one another as you leave. Okay? All right. I'm going to ask Lucy if she would give the benediction. And then if you would come greet them and follow me this morning.
If you would bow with me. Dear Father God, God of glory, God of grace, God of wonder, we are in awe to be in your house and to worship you. Lord, I ask that this morning we've heard from our peers and some of us from our children and from our friends what it means to use the time that you give us to the best of our ability. And God, I ask that you lay that on our hearts and teach us how to be your servants more effectively. We love you so much. Amen.
A couple of announcements before we have the response. All this stuff that was up here, it needs to be put back pretty much pretty quickly after the service. So if any able bodies could stay and hang out with us, that would be great. I'm very thankful to be the youth guy at College Park. It is a blessing to be here. And there are so many people who have prayed for our young people. So many people who work in Sunday school, so many people who work on Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, and throughout the year. And I'm very thankful for all those who have made this day possible. The response this morning will come from the very first song that we sang, Love the Lord. We want you to stand and sing this response with us. With all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, strength, with all my soul, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, I will love you, Lord, with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.